Channel Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins, your health and wellbeing radio show on channelradio.co.uk. My name's Jan Mulligan and she's back. She's with us.
I'm back, but I sound... Can you turn my ears down? I'm very loud in my ears.
Very loud in your ears.
Hopefully I'm not very loud out to the rest of the world. Hello, people! I'm back, and I'm very, very glad I'm back. I had a very strange thing called sickness. I've never heard of it before.
It's foreign to
me. It's an unknown to me, yes. But I was taken down like an SAS army soldier tackling me to the ground, and I was got.
But the Energizer Buzzy Bunny has returned.
She's got my Duracell batteries in. Yep, I'm off now.
Excellent.
But we've got a jam-packed show, so I'm not allowed to talk, am I, Jan?
No, we've got lots and lots to cram in today. We've been waiting 2 years to have these interviews.
I know. It's so good.
This week, Sheila and Derek Appleton.
Hello, Sheila. Hello, Derek.
We know you're listening, so hello to you both. Welcome to the show.
Yay.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get Sheila and Derek down to the studio because Sheila is a wheelchair user, and Sheila has a super duper wheelchair.
Super
and
duper.
It's enormous. And our door widths here are we can't get not quite enough.
Maybe we can have a word with Channel Radio and stretch the microphones outside into the car park.
A ramp through the window. You can duck, can't you, Sheila? We can duck you through the window next time. But anyway, we have lots of snippet recordings from Sheila and Derek all about what is Boccia, how to get started with a new club, where to seek funding.
So much information. So much. And hello, Nikki. I know she's listening from last week. Nikki
hello,
Ratcliffe. I miss you, Nikki. I was so gutted I couldn't be here with you. So we're going to meet up at one of Kent Business Tweet Ups, hopefully, in March. Oh, I'm so excited, Jan, to be back. I'm so excited.
So I should just point out before we start that, as regular listeners know, I am a member of Herme Boccia. So
yes, you are.
But I have tried to conduct the interviews as if I know nothing, so that
I know nothing.
And
if I'm back,
then I'll learn and join along. But we're going to start off with Mark White's sense of what is Boccia.
What is Boccia?
So here we go.
Boccia is a Paralympic sport, can be played by anybody with any type of disability at all. It is played in a sitting position. Mm-hmm. If somebody is wheelchair dependent, they play in their wheelchair. If they're not wheelchair dependent, they play sitting on an ordinary chair. It's a very simple game to play. It's very similar to either indoor bowls or petanque, French game.
Mm-hmm.
Ball. Quite simple, straightforward rules. You have a jack ball, as with bowls and petanque, and you have red or blue colour balls, 6 of each of any side. The idea is, of course, as with bowls, is that you get your coloured balls as close to the jack ball as you possibly can. And with Boccia, you can do it in any way at all. You can throw the ball or roll it, which is what most people are able to do. If you can't roll the ball, you can use your feet we won't say kick it, but I say push it with your foot.
Right. Could they kick it if they can kick it?
As long as they don't kick it too far through the windows.
Right.
It's not football.
Ground level.
Ground level, definitely. No off the ground. And or if you're not able to do that at all, then we can provide a ramp. Mm-hmm. It is possible to use a ramp. There's several designs of ramp. From quite basic, which is what we use, up to very complex ramps.
Right.
We saw one in Swansea with a girl who actually plays for Boccia England team.
Uh-huh.
She's part of the UK team. And her ramp is really quite something, wasn't it?
State of the art, £500 worth, fantastically decorated, her name sign written on the side. It was a wonderful piece of equipment.
I said some equipment envy here.
With several additions that would fit onto the top of the ramp, depending on how far the jack ball she was going to roll, how far it had to go on the court.
Because she wasn't able to use her hands or anything at all. She couldn't communicate only by waving her wrists. That's the only movement she had.
Okay.
And her mother and father used to travel with her, and her father was like her helper.
Right.
Official helper. And she communicated where she wanted the ramp, where she wanted him to move the ramp to, by flicking her wrist. And she played Boccia, and she moved the ball down the ramp with a helmet around her head, mm-hmm. with an arm coming out and a flipper on the end of the arm that she nodded her head and flicked the ball down the ramp.
It was incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Go from so little movement.
That's right.
And so restricted communication.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To playing for your national team.
And she was spot on with that ball every time. That was the amazing thing. Just sort of watched her, my mouth fell open.
Because also the player that uses the ramp has to communicate, the helper has their back to the court during the whole of an end. Mm-hmm. And they mustn't converse verbally in any way at all. The person with a ramp has to line the ramp up themselves and indicate to the sport assistant, it's called sport assistant, which way the ramp is to go, but not speaking.
So the player's facing the court and the sports assistant has their back to
the court. Back to the court, yeah.
That's right.
It's a temptation to look over your shoulder and see what's happening.
Must be. Must be. Yeah, so we all like to know.
You mentioned that there's the jack ball and then there's two coloured balls. Mm-hmm. Is boccia played in singles, pairs,
yes,
teams?
It's played.
All of the above?
All of them, yeah. Teams of three.
Okay.
Three on each team or pairs. When you play in a team of three, you play six ends.
Okay.
Six ends make up a game.
And what constitutes an end?
Is where you throw all balls until all six balls are thrown, all of the coloured balls are thrown.
Gotcha, okay.
That is the end of an end. Those coloured balls are then counted up by the referee, who scores and says what the score is, mm-hmm. Which is then obviously put on a scoreboard. We're lucky, we've got quite a nice scoreboard made by the father of one of our members, and it's quite good.
It's actually six ends because each player throws a jack ball for each end.
All right, so yeah. do you move down the line,
that's
so
right.
to speak?
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, if I've got this right then, if you've got six of each colour balls, and you've got three people, they'd have two balls each.
That's right.
And if you go to pairs,
then they have three balls each.
So just
and that is played over four ends.
Oh, okay.
For singles, they have all six balls.
Yeah.
And again, that is played over four ends.
Right.
Unless, of course, there should be a tie after the four ends, then there's a tie break. Likewise with the six. If the scores are even, then you play one tie break.
Okay. And roughly how long might either an end or a game last?
I think officially for singles, certainly, it's 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
Per end?
For single,
per
end.
Per player.
Yeah, 6 minutes per player.
So potentially 12 minutes
per end.
And so you have kind of faffing time, start and end, or is it extremely precise that first ball release, that's when the clock starts?
It's when the referee indicates which colour it's going to throw,
The
clock starts. Mm.
The referee starts the game, if you like.
Yeah.
Nobody would throw a ball, not the jack ball, nobody would throw until the referee says, play.
Right.
And then the clock stops immediately, the ball stops rolling, becomes dead.
Mm. Right, so you've presumably got somebody there with the old stopwatch or a clock.
That's right.
And you mentioned that it's a Paralympic sport.
That's right.
Are there different rules at different stages? So from beginners, amateurs starting out to competing for England?
No, they're all played by the same basic boccia rules.
Okay.
There are quite clear guidelines as to the rules, which are...
There's pages and pages of rules. And there's probably, like with most sports, still a situation arises where there's not a rule for it.
So it's ever-growing.
As in England's last wicket the other day, when there's confusion over whether it was LBW or run out. With a player on 98.
I know from previous conversations with Derek, you're an avid cricket fan. Both avid cricket fans. That might be a conversation for another day. We can come back and do this all over.
Reluctantly, I'm going to stay up till 10:30 at 11:30 some nights near the World Cup.
So, Angela, are you all conversing in the rules now?
Oh, please don't test me. Please don't test me. There's so much information in there. But it's my understanding is it's sort of similar to bowls, green bowling, but indoors. Indoors.
And with soft sack-type balls rather than hard
rolly
balls.
Yeah.
So we've had a report that possibly there's a sound problem for some people on the internet. We would encourage you to refresh your internet page.
Yeah, I've just checked it outside and it's crystal clear.
We're all okay here. So while you do that,
come down to the studio.
We're going to be playing a piece of music chosen by Sheila and Derek. This is the double violin concerto by Bach, and it's
oh, get my violin out.
Absolutely, Angela's going to join in. And it was played at their wedding, so happy memories for them. So just a snippet because it's quite a long piece of music. Here we go. Sorry to have cut that off short. We're nice and
beautiful,
relaxed,
yeah.
But we have so much to cut in. So
I know.
Up next, we have Sheila and Derek talking about how they heard about Watcher and how it got them interested.
I was going to say how they'd started it.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So, where did you first come across Watcher?
2012 London Olympics.
Did you go or see it on television?
No, we saw it on television. And since I became disabled, I've missed being able to take part to anything in any sport. Mm-hmm. At the time we were living in France, and our sports, like, we used to play pétanque, we used to get to cricket now and again, but cricket's not really played in France very much, is it? But there was one team we found that we supported. But it literally came on television. We didn't know what we were going to see.
Mm-hmm.
Once it started, and I just said, I could do that. I could play Butcher. And Derek said, yes, you could, and we'll find out about it. Mm-hmm. So Derek was the one that went online.
I was aware of a game called Boccia before the 2012 Olympics, but not fully conversant with it. You went online, and we found that locally there was a club at Dover, Medway and Maidstone. So we contacted the club at Dover. They invited us along, very friendly, helpful to us. Sheila had a play. Had a go of it, tried roll-ins, one or two things didn't work, but found something that did work for her.
Well, it was initially I used a ramp, didn't I? Mm. When I was playing at Dover, I used a ramp, because I'm not able to throw the ball.
Right.
Was trying to do, as everyone else does, and roll it from the side, one hand at the side, like most people play bowls, and which most people play boccia, but I wasn't able to do that. And at that time, wasn't able to figure out how I was going to do it, and so they suggested a ramp, which is what I used.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the hang of using it, and it was okay. I was doing okay.
Unfortunately, their ramp consisted of a piece of plastic guttering.
Literally.
House guttering, yeah. For the water and rain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes ours look quite posh. But
yeah. Not very professional, but for the level and social aspect of the club.
Well,
it works for them.
I'm all for making do. My life as an economist, its first rule is first spend no money. So you use what you can find.
Yeah.
So they get the thumbs up for that.
That's right,
That's what we first used.
Yeah, that's what we first used.
Some proper ones, yeah.
Well, the Herne Bay Lions bought our ramps.
Right.
They, when we first started, we wanted bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm. Did you approach them, or did they hear about you?
No, I approached them, introduced who we were, what Boccia was. Did they know of it? No, they didn't. Mostly done by email, I think just one phone conversation. That was in the beginning. You know, what is it? And they came up and they said if we bought the two ramps, they would reimburse us, which is what we did.
So you joined Dover to begin with then?
We did.
Playing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's in the Paralympics in sort of August time of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
When was your first session at Dover? How soon after that?
November, December, somewhere there, probably.
Within the same
time.
Year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, I love this phrase, world domination thought struck you, and you wanted to set up your own club.
It was quite simply, we came on the way home one time, we went down a few times, and on the way back, we were saying, just talking in the car, how we enjoyed those afternoons.
Right.
Playing a sport of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Derek got involved as well in like refereeing and picking up balls and what have you. I enjoyed playing. As with our club, able-bodied people can play as well.
Okay.
And so, you know, Derek had games and we liked it. And on the way home yesterday, we just said, there must be people in Herne Bay who would enjoy doing this like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, right, you know, chat about a few things around as you do. And we said, right, let's go to the council and find out how we do this.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we did. Went into the council offices here in Herne Bay one day, explained what it was, what we'd been doing, what we'd like to do here. By this time it was into 2013, and the chap in the council was very helpful. He phoned Canterbury, said he thought he knew who to contact there. Spoke to Giles, somebody at Canterbury, who made contact again,
mm-hmm.
and came back. Made a few suggestions. Among them was that we should be able to play at the Herne Bay Sports Centre.
Right.
Bay Arena, they call it. So that seemed perfect, ideal. There were a few problems because, of course, that is a school building.
Yes.
On the school, within the school grounds, and the school use it regularly.
Finding a time slot that's convenient available.
That's right, which was a bit of a problem, which really is how it come to be Fridays.
Right.
Friday afternoons. I was very lucky in finding a really good contact at KCC. He helped us initially, and he actually came over. Have you met him?
Mike, I don't think I have, no.
No. He came over when we first started at where we are now,
mm-hmm.
Clarence Road. Really nice chap. Disabled himself, so he understood.
Right.
And it turns out that all the councils, not just Kent, but all the councils over the country were given money to spend on Paralympic sport activities to encourage disabled people, well, all people really, into sport a bit more. And so they was all given a certain amount of money.
So your timing was perfect then.
It was, wasn't it? Probably wouldn't have done so well if we'd known more about Boccia before the Olympics. and so, yes, they started off, KCC gave us a set of balls.
Right.
Unfortunately, the venue wasn't good because we had to share big hall with mm-hmm. the roller skating group from the school.
Oh, it's not quite conducive for a nice, quiet, leisurely game of Boccia.
Not really, not really.
We should add up the very first time a couple that are involved with the Boccia Club at Medway, which is a part of the Prince Arthur Bowls Club there. They offered to come and help get us started.
Mm-hmm.
They also brought court that they'd laid out. Well, how would you describe it? Tape?
It was material. They stitched pieces together in strips of material
right,
to mark out the court, which wasn't very safe.
No, I can see a tripping hazard.
Well, Mark did.
Ah.
Because Mark, one of our members, came along that very first meeting,
mm-hmm.
as did Sabrina and Tamika. I can't remember who else.
A few others from Stroke Park.
Yeah,
Foundation.
A few from Stroke Park. That's right, they came along. But Mark,
right.
he tends to drag one foot a bit, which is exactly what happened. His foot got caught in this fabric. So he said, we cannot have fabric marking. We have to have a better marking.
Mm-hmm.
Which we came up with good old masking tape. But it does the job. It
does the job, absolutely.
But nevertheless, the couple did come voluntarily and show us how to get started.
That's right.
Very kind of them.
Yeah. They knew much more.
Trying to work it out for ourselves.
They were playing the game, weren't they? And they knew the rules more, the basics, which we have very little knowledge of, really. Mm. That it was a great help them coming along to that first meeting, wasn't it?
So when was this first meeting?
First of March 2013.
Which is partly why we're having this conversation today, because you're about to have your 2-year anniversary birthday.
We are.
Knees up, however you want to put
That's
it.
Right.
So we'll chat a bit about that in a minute.
Okay.
So we got you 1st of March at the Herne Bay Sports Centre. Mm-hmm. Not ideal, but lots of support from outside sources.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you've mentioned where you are now, so there's obviously a move that took place.
Well, we only met 3 times at Herne Bay. Right. Because, as we said, it wasn't conducive, and there is a little cafe there, but again, not open during school time.
Right.
So we couldn't get a drink or any refreshment at all. Mm. Added to that, the roller skating right beside us.
So you couldn't get some water to take your anodine with to get rid of the headache for the roller skating.
The roller skating. So, yeah, and we decided that we were going to try to move. Looked around.
Had a look at three or four different halls around Herne Bay for various reasons. They weren't available or weren't big enough, not suitable in some way, or,
too expensive.
Unfortunately, too expensive, yeah. Mm.
Mm. And are you self-funding at this stage for the hire of the hall?
Yep.
So this is all out of your own pockets?
It was. From the second week, we started charging £2 a session, didn't we? First week, nobody pays their first week anyway.
Right, so new members, first week is like a trial week.
Exactly.
Yeah, trial week.
Okay. That's right. If you like us, come back and then we'll take your money.
Unfortunately, we do have to make a charge.
Yeah.
Because there's rent of the hall and other expenses.
Well,
it would be wonderful not to have to charge people, but it's a fact of life. And our £2 in relative to other clubs is at the bottom end.
I was going to say, that's not very much when you think of what people spend for a couple of hours entertainment.
That's right, there's £2.
Other groups are charging £2.50 just for an hour.
It's £2 for 2 hours, and that includes tea and biscuits.
Ah, well, you could go into certain coffee and tea shops and not get a cup off of £2. Yeah, I think are very reasonable.
But we're not there to make profit, we just want to cover our costs.
Yeah.
As much a social afternoon as playing a serious game.
Right.
But having said that, we do play boccia seriously. Uh-huh. We do play by the rules.
Right.
It's not all fun. But between games, yes, there's fun.
Uh-huh.
And we want the games themselves to be enjoyable.
Excellent.
Some of the boys and girls that play, when somebody throws a wayward ball, you get cries like, "What was that?" Or, "What did you do that for?"
Good chiaking and sense of humour going on, yeah.
Or even, "I didn't mean to do that." Sitting here saying it, you can hear some people saying it.
So you researching different halls, and obviously the cost is a factor that you're looking at, but presumably size of court.
Oh, definitely.
Also a factor.
Mm. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's something you have to bear in mind. Although the game itself can be virtually played in someone's lounge like we are here, it doesn't have to be on a fun basis, but ideally you want the size of court as in the rules of the game.
Right.
But where we are, we can manage one full-size court. The court is 10 metres long and 6 metres wide, with boxes that players have to staying when they're playing, 1 metre wide and 2.5 metres behind the throwing line. So ideally you need 12.5 metres by 6.
Right. Which is a fair space for your average church hall or social club.
It's the same size as a badminton court.
Okay. But you don't need the ceiling height.
No.
No, you shouldn't need the ceiling.
No kicking.
What was your deciding point?
We've ended up with the St Mary's Retreat Hall, which is attached to the Catholic Church in Clarence Road.
So it's still in Herne Bay?
Still in Herne Bay.
You meet on a Friday afternoon?
Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Until 4 o'clock.
Until 4 o'clock. So it's 2 hours, £2, and a cuppa and biscuits.
That's right. when it's your birthday, you get a cake as well.
Really?
So, listeners, if you haven't got the interest by now, the fact that you get your birthday celebrated with cake, I think that's a very good reason to be popping along to have a try of this game.
Another reason for going there was the encouragement we got from particularly Father Mark,
associated
with the Catholic Church. They were very interested and very welcoming and have been since. We've been very lucky with them.
They have been so supportive and fantastic. When we first started, they charged us £11 an hour.
That's a pretty good rate
for the hall. The closest claim to that was £15 an hour, which was another church hall. But most of the halls were 20, 25 upwards an hour. We couldn't get into that.
Yeah.
So, one, it had the space. And two, it was a good cost. Yeah. And three, we really felt wanted. And so we've been there ever since. And after, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so, Father Mark does pop in from time to time, just say hello, what are we doing? And after he'd been in one time, got a bill, and it wasn't as much for the hire of the hall. So I queried it, only to be told by the lady that does their bookkeeping, oh no, you're only being charged £10 a session now.
So you get 2 hours for £10?
We do. At that time, we was only getting an hour and a half. When we asked, could we have it for longer, because people started saying, oh, do we have to go now? Oh, can't we have one more game? So we asked.
When we started, it was actually £22 a session.
A session.
Because we needed time to set the balls up and mark the calls out, etc., and to clear up afterwards. Yeah. So we were being charged £22. Now they've generously let us pay £10 for the session.
And we have it for 2.5 hours.
A lifeline to us, actually.
Absolutely.
We have it for 2.5 hours because we have 15 minutes to set up before everybody arrives.
Right.
And 15 minutes to clear up after everybody's left.
And just so I can get it right in my own head and for listeners, you were looking at any hall in any variation, and the fact that you've ended up at a Catholic church hall, there's no religious connection there, affiliation there.
Not at all.
Anybody could hire the hall if they wanted to.
And they do.
So, and I picked up on there, Derek, you mentioned taping the court out. So there's no markings on the floor. This is something you have to do every week.
Ironically, at the school, the court wouldn't have needed hardly any markings at all because it's virtually the size of a badminton court. No, it's just necessary to mark it out with masking tape. It doesn't take long, and that's proved ideal. No one can trip over it.
No.
And it hasn't, fortunately, it hasn't marked the floor greatly, although you can see where the tape has been before, which can be a helping mark.
As long as they don't varnish, you're okay at the moment.
There's never been any complaints about it, fortunately, whereas I sense some other halls might not have been happy with tape being put down and taken up.
Yeah.
So that's another thing.
But that also means, in a way, that you're portable, aren't you? If you needed to go somewhere else, you're used to taping it out, and you could. But it sounds like you found a very happy home.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
So, Angela, I'm putting you on the spot. We now know the rules.
Mm.
You now know how to find
a
hall.
Take me own masking tape.
Buy a roll of masking tape and you're off and running.
Are they after donations, maybe, a masking tape?
Absolutely, any donations, very gratefully.
I'm sure, yeah. Good.
So, up next, we have a piece of music for actually one of the club members.
Oh, this is Molly, isn't
this is Molly.
It?
She sings. She's always asked by different groups to come sing at their churches or their events. And I managed to convince her, because she's quite shy about it, to sing with no accompaniment. So this
I think that's very brave.
Very brave.
Into a recorder machine.
Yes.
Well done, Molly.
So this is Molly with Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
And the dream. that you dared to dream really do come true. Someday I wish upon a star and wake up with clouds up far behind me, where troubles smell like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me. Somewhere on the rainbow, why, oh why can't I?
Channel Radio.
See, we're such a multi-talented group.
I know, unsung artists. Who knows where Molly will be now?
Absolutely. So you're listening to Who Cares Wins Radio, and we're on channelradio.co.uk. Myself, Jan Mulligan, and Andrew Bryce Stevenson, back from
my sick bed. Yes.
We're airing today our interviews with Sheila and Derek Appleton of Herne Bay Boccia. So next up, we have celebrations in their first year.
There were some celebrations in that first year, I know from talking to you previously, that you went off to a friendly tournament.
We did. With Dover.
At Dover.
So we were back to where we'd started for the tournament, which they have annually.
Right.
And so, yes, we was invited. They said they had this tournament every October, last Sunday of the month. Would we be interested in taking our team, or a team down?
Mm-hmm.
So we took two teams,
mm-hmm.
and we won the cup.
Excellent. So in your first year...
Which is the Beryl Griggs Trophy.
Been running for 6 months...
From March to October. 1st of March to the end of October.
And this is the first time you've competed in anything.
Exactly.
And you've come away with the cup.
That's right.
I think that's brilliant. I bet you're all chuffed at that.
Oh, you should have been there. Oh, I wish I could have bottled it. I'm
sure you're all two young female colleagues.
Yeah. South and Sabrina and Tamika. And they are so excitable.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them, cerebral palsy young girls, so excitable. And before, when we first said about it and when we were practicing, they were saying, we're going to win.
I like a positive mental attitude.
That's right. Oh, they had that in bucketfuls. And well, we did, but the noise at the celebrations, there was tears, I was crying, he was crying. Other people, because luckily their families all came.
Mm-hmm.
They travelled from Herne Bay down to Dover, from Ashford, from Thanet. The families all came.
I think there was 21 of us all together from Herne Bay.
Yeah.
With carers and family.
Yeah, carers and family.
Uh-huh.
Very supportive. The families, luckily.
Very good.
Well, you rewarded them well with the win. That's brilliant.
But what an afternoon.
It is quite emotional to see young people that have got everyday difficulties to actually achieve something
mm-hmm.
beyond what they maybe could have thought in their past life.
It's fantastic. I mean, both of them have got multiple disabilities, but yeah, their everyday life, just to mundane things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know myself how difficult some things are. But I also know the good things, because most of the life I was fit and healthy.
Right.
They've not known any different, so their entire life has been a struggle.
Mm.
And it is a struggle. And yet they don't make a big thing of it. They love to socialise.
Mm-hmm.
This is an undercurrent. These party people.
Yeah, they are party people. They love the discos and the nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
We're lucky there's one in Canterbury that has one evening a fortnight, I think it is, for people with disabilities, physical and mental uh-huh. disabilities. And they go along to that every time, and oh, I can't tell you some of the things they say they get up to.
And then you bring them down to earth with a game of Ocha.
We do.
I always remember something that Peter Edwards, who's been with his wife Rose running the Dover Club now for 15 years, said to me once. He said, this is a lifeline to right. people that go there. Mm. They've got something positive they can go and take part in every week.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm. And You've mentioned there that sort of, you call them girls and boys. What sort of ages are we talking?
We've got girls and boys from the ages of our youngest one will be 20 shortly.
Okay.
And our eldest one is 93.
Well, that's brilliant. I don't think many clubs could boast that kind of age range.
Possibly
not. And they mix well.
Yeah?
They mix well.
That's going to be the next question. Do you play, young groups, old groups, or...
Oh. Anything.
Boys and girls, is it all mixed together?
All mixed together. I will just say, Joe, the youngest, newest and youngest member, mm-hmm. as I say, still 19, when she was leaving, week before last, she said to me, she said, I've got two best friends here. I said, oh, have you? That's nice. I said, can I ask who they are? So she said, you and Audrey. Now, Audrey is our 93-year-old. I know they often say, the old and young, grandchildren, grandparents,
yeah.
do always get on well, but that was her words, that the 93-year-old was one of her best
friends.
That's
lovely to hear.
Isn't it?
So you went off to your first tournament in Dover, came back with the gold.
We did.
Anything since then?
Yes. We went off to Sandwich
mm-hmm.
in April last year.
So April 2014.
And we came back with bronze.
Okay, so a bit of a drop, but still a medal.
That's right. We went back to Dover
yes.
last October, and we didn't come home with the cup this time.
Ah.
But we came home with silver.
Oh, so you've got...
So we've got all three.
Three tournaments and all three medals.
That's right.
That's an excellent start.
It's not bad for a new group, is
Absolutely.
It, really?
And in terms of, we touched on this earlier, in terms of playing the game, there are set, as you call them, Botcher England rules.
Mm.
But if one is trying to play for a region, a county, and then England, are there then streams of qualifying for that? Do you need to have a certain level of disability?
Yes, there's four classification groups.
That's the word I was looking for, classification, thank you.
Yeah, there are four groups, varying degrees of disability. We did learn from Swansea when we were visiting down there last year that Botcher England were going to introduce four more groups this year
mm-hmm.
and possibly next year yet another four to take in a lot more things, one being partially sighted or blind, another one being dwarfism, which mm-hmm. now isn't classified as a disability for Botcher.
So am I right in saying that when Botcher was first introduced, it was for people with cerebral palsy?
That's right.
And limited ability in all four limbs?
That's right.
Have I read that somewhere?
That's right.
Right.
So it's all four limbs and the back.
And the back, right.
Mm. It's also on trunk.
The next step up for people like us playing locally in a club is to enter a regional championship. And to do that, if you've not been classified, you have to turn up an hour before the play officially starts on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're assessed as your ability throwing and movement wise, and hopefully you'll put in one of those classifications.
And have you had any members go that route?
One of our members took part in the regional games this year.
Mm-hmm.
He had been classified previously, but it was several years ago.
Right.
Uh-huh. He was reclassified into the same group.
Right.
But there were two others that were hoping to go. One couldn't go because we were told that he probably would not be classified, and the other was myself, and unfortunately I was unwell and not able to go.
Oh.
So I still haven't had a classification, which I'd quite like.
Unfortunately, you may not be assessed as to going into any of the four classifications when you get there.
Right.
And all they can say is that they may be able to arrange friendly games during the day for you.
Mm-hmm.
This other chap in our club, he's very, very keen for us to get involved in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be a terrific lot of travelling in it, because you're talking about teams from the southeast, I think Kingston, Croydon, Epsom and Newell, and unfortunately with a group like ours, travelling involves carers and
presumably special transport.
Transport
and it's very expensive.
It's got to be in vehicles adapted to carry people travelling in wheelchairs.
So,
because there's some of us that cannot get out of our wheelchair in order to travel.
So in terms of funding at the moment, we talked earlier about when you started off that you self-funded the first session,
mm-hmm.
and you charged £2 a week membership fee, and you had some help from Kent County Council mm-hmm. and the Lions Club. Are you still receiving any funding from any source, or are you totally self-funded now?
So we had 250 the first couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
plus a set of balls. Then a few weeks later, we had another set of balls plus £400. Last year, we decided, after going into the first competition, we decided we'd like our own strip, and all the members were up for that.
Mm-hmm. So this kit strip was tops.
That's right, tops. Well, we were thinking first off just a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But this our friendly chap at KCC came up and he said, "Yes, Sheila," he said, "sounds like a great idea." He said, "I can give you £400. Towards your strip." So I thought, cool, blimey, that's a heck of a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah.
We don't fill them. So we thought, we'll have sweatshirt and a fleece top, which is what we have. And because the balls are red and blue,
mm-hmm.
we've got a blue sweatshirt and a red fleece. We've devised a logo, and the only proviso with KCC was that we had their logo on it, supported by KCC.
Seems fair.
So that's what I thought. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that at all. I don't mind the Victor Hall's bin on my on my clothing. So that's what we do there. But going back
on,
to
on a wider point, when we went back for the second set of balls, it was disappointing to learn from Mike Bishop that on the success of the London Paralympics, he'd been given six sets of balls, and when we went back asking for a second set, it turns out that no one else had actually approached him for any set of balls. And I understand in the last few months you read that the carry-on from the London Paralympics hasn't progressed as much as one would have liked.
It's extremely disappointing, isn't it?
Mm. It is.
The excitement and the atmosphere of both the main Olympics and the Paralympics was extraordinary.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
And in terms of participation, it hasn't grown like was anticipated when they put the original proposal forward. It was going to be a great legacy on the basis of why London got it.
Either for yourself or other teams that are based in Kent, there's potentially four sets of balls going big.
Possibly, but what I think is even potentially worse, being in touch with Mike Bishop recently, and KCC are having lots of cuts, and his job, which is to support disabled people into sport,
mm-hmm.
and he won't have a job after April.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking, what does that do for disabled people who want to play any kind of sport in Kent?
Yeah, it seems that sort of catch-22 thing, isn't it? That if people aren't asking the questions, that's why his job is on the line. But if people aren't asking questions, why are they not?
Mm.
Is it the fact that they don't know they can, or is the promotion not working?
I think they don't know they can. We didn't know they could.
No.
I mean, it was luck, I think, with us. Because the chap at Herne Bay put us in touch with the right person at Canterbury,
mm-hmm.
who happened to know of the right person at KCC. If we'd have not gone that route, if we'd have just said, oh, let's start it up, ourselves, we wouldn't have had a clue. And I just think we were so lucky to have gone, one, to have gone that route, and two, to have been put in touch with the right people.
So I think one of the lessons from this is ask, and ask as soon as you have the thought.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't just go charging ahead. Take the time to step back and maybe think it through first, and think of all avenues if you like. Don't be blinkered. You know, don't just think I want to set up butcher group or something, but go wider and think, what is out there in the on the peripheries? What is out there that can point me in the better direction?
So that's our key message to people starting to think about starting up a club.
Yeah.
As a potential player or as a potential person wanting to play any kind of sport, any message there? Any words of encouragement?
You can do it. Don't think you can't. Because you're disabled, don't think, I can't do that anymore. Because the chances are you jolly well can. Think of what you can do and explore avenues. If you run up against a brick wall once, go off at a tangent. Find another way to get around that brick wall because they're there. And you can do things.
And as you found as a player, you were playing, as you said earlier, you tried first bowling the ball as a normal bowls action, and that didn't work
didn't
for you.
Didn't work.
You then tried the ramp, which worked a bit better.
Yeah, but I didn't like it.
But you didn't like it.
I'm
so you now found
so.
Another. I'm going to lose 50 on this. And I take it from that you've now found a third way of throwing that suits you.
Oh, yes. I just decided, right, I don't want to use the ramp. If I can't throw one way, let's try other ways. I now thought, oh, it doesn't look pretty probably, but I don't have a great deal of strength in my arms, and so I need to use both arms. My left arm's not much good, but it supports my right wrist, and I throw two-handed,
right,
mostly from my right hand, with the support of my left, and I throw it from chest height. As I say, it may not be pretty, but I can manage to get a ball relatively near to the jack.
And I have seen you play, and you're pretty darn accurate with that.
It doesn't actually matter how you propel the ball.
No, it doesn't.
As long as you're within the throwing box.
It doesn't matter how you throw. You find a way that works for you. Yeah.
Because it's a frustrating sport. Now, unfortunately, I'm able-bodied, and I think most games I play, when I do play, I should beat these people with difficulties, but it just does not work out like that.
No. Right. It's one of those games where it's actually not an advantage to be able-bodied.
It looks so easy looking at the game, but it doesn't work out.
It is a very frustrating game.
I was going to say, you play, don't you, Jan? Yeah.
What's going on in your head? You know, you're darn accurate. It's going to hit the white ball every time, and then you let go and you go, oh, okay.
It's a bit like my attempt to play golf. It's like my ball would always be in the trees. Everyone's going, you know, straight ahead, and I'm always turning left.
That's the thing, sport's just unpredictable. Well, we have another piece of music now, also chosen by Sheila and Eric. It's Steel Ice Band, one of their favourite groups I know. I've mentioned it in the past. We met at a concert recently. And this one is called Barnet Fair. Good afternoon. We're Jan and Angela on Who Cares Wins. And I'm very sorry we're having to cut the music short today, but we've got such a lot of information.
Well, you have just got, you, Sheila and Derek have just got, I mean, I think you're going to have your own homemade Boccia radio show.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll all be clamouring to do that. part of our conversation we had, we were chatting for a good 2.5 hours. So
wow.
To get that down to an hour's radio show.
Well done, Jan.
Quite tricky. But one of the topics we did talk about, and there hasn't been time to include in the recording, is the fact that Herne Bay Boccia are the instigators of a new Kent league.
Oh, good.
The first time there's been a league in Kent. So they're liaising with a few clubs in the area, and hopefully later this year that league will start. So we'll keep you posted about that.
Because they mentioned Medway, didn't they?
Mentioned Medway, yeah. And hopefully it's going to be played at the YMCA in Maidstone.
Why?
Yeah, she's dancing, sorry, folks. But I'll keep you posted on when that starts, because spectators, sponsors, supporters...
And come and watch and shout for you, Jan.
Absolutely.
Go, Jan, go!
I don't think I get to play on that one.
Okay then.
But so that's one way that they're growing the support for the club itself, but also knowledge of Boccia in the area. And here we have in this last segment other ways that they're spreading the word.
Well, one of our helpers, her mother, is a teacher at a local school, and several months ago I casually asked her about disabled children being able to play Boccia within Herne Bay or within this area. And nothing much happened, and then she started to arrange something, and we've been several times to Herne Junior School as an after school activity, 3:15 to 4:15, with a set of balls and some children with various difficulties there, and they thoroughly enjoy it. We get a lot of satisfaction from it, that youngsters can be involved with it. That's another outlet. Something else that has occurred recently is that we've been invited on a Saturday in March to take part in something organised by a student at Christchurch College, Canterbury. It's called, is it Play Sport? I think it's called
Play Sport. Mm.
Several sports. He's doing it all off his own back as well as studying.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously heard about us, and we've been invited to go along there between 4:30 and 7:00. And as a demonstration sport, taking our sets of balls, score balls, etc. We're pleased that we've been asked to do that. Be another opening
so you
to demonstrate the sport.
Have every decade covered then, don't you? Because you've got the juniors,
that's
which
right.
is up to 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You've got contacts with the school through the league
mm-hmm.
now. And then you've got the university chap, the college chap,
mm-hmm.
for the late teens mm-hmm. into third. So you've got everybody. Everybody covers. There's no excuse
no.
for somebody not to come
no,
along.
No, not at all. Other no, than we'll be very well
being available.
Mm-hmm.
So just to recap, it's on a Friday.
It is.
It's St Mary's Retreat Hall, Clarence Road, Herne Bay.
That's right.
Starts at 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
Finishes at 4:00.
Mm-hmm.
For £2, although your first visit is free.
It is.
So second visit onwards, £2 for all of that, and a cup of tea and a bicky.
That's right.
So
and we celebrate your birthday.
And we celebrate your birthday. And it's your birthday in 2 weeks' time, the club's birthday.
That's right.
On 1st of March,
it is.
So you're having a celebration, because 1st of March doesn't fall on a Friday.
No, it's the 27th of February.
And
the Lord Mayor is coming along.
Excellent.
The Lord Mayor of Canterbury is coming along.
And open to all comers, or is this just a members' party?
Mostly members, but if anybody else turned up, we wouldn't turn them away.
So you've
but they may not play much Boccia that day, though.
Right, so it might be a social event.
Yeah, it would be a social event.
Have a balls, but might not be a lot of else that
That's
day.
That's right.
Okay. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you to discuss Boccia, either as a member, starting a club, joining the league, how's the best way to find out a bit more about you?
They can look on Herne Bay Boccia on Facebook.
So it's Boccia as in gotcha, but it's spelled B-O-C-C-I-A, Boccia.
Boccia. So Herne Bay Boccia on Facebook. And also we've got some links for how to find more information about Boccia in general, from mm-hmm. GB Boccia and Boccia England.
Yep.
And if you're interested in any other sport, there's a very good website called parasport.org.uk.
That's right.
And they've got a section, find a club, find hyphen A hyphen club.
And we are on there.
And you are on there.
We are so on there. We are on them all.
Post all of that information.
We are on them all.
Thank you very much.
And remember, you can.
You can. That's the message for the day, folks. You can. Thank you.
Thank you.
So remember, you can. Mm-hmm. And in the spirit of you can, Sheila has just WhatsApped me, and she said she's heard...
Is that painful, Jan?
It was very painful, but I took the anodine, took the paracetamol. She heard today that there are hopes for the Kent League to go on to link up with the National Championships later this year.
Fab.
So the little acorns...
Good.
Great things grow.
Good
so
to hear.
On Facebook, folks, it's Herne Bay Boccia, B-O-C-C-I-A.
I have been posting on Facebook, so you can follow the link. Go like their page.
And we'll post all the other links on
I think we need to get our last week's guest, Nikki Ratcliffe, and Herne Bay Boccia maybe together, because we need you on Twitter as well, Sheila and Derek, so we can tweet you as well as Facebook you.
See, I'm not the only ones that nag you, Sheila.
We get you.
We've got a sports theme show today. So thank you first to Sheila and Derek for your time.
Yes.
And everything you do.
Very informative.
But you... despite your sick bed, have been out running.
Yes. I wanted to mention this last week because my boss, who is the reason why I started my running all those years ago, I saw her and lo and behold, she's got me back into my running, and she got me back involved with Park Run. Many people may know of this.
It's not Park Life.
It's no Park Run. And it's all across the country. So if you just type in parkrun.org.uk, you'll find the main website where they are free. Yes, F-R-E-E.
We like free.
Weekly, every Saturday morning, all across the country, and you just literally have to register before you turn up. So you have to go to the website and register, and you get a barcode. But anyone, all abilities, some of them are now looking at wheelchair possibilities for people to take part. You have all abilities, whether you walk, crawl, jog, run, sprint, and it is all free for you. There are some sponsors, Sweatshop and Pru Health are two of the main sponsors that enable this, like, because the website, obviously there's costs involved. But there's loads in Kent, Ashford, Canterbury, Folkestone, Maidstone, Margate, Tunbridge Wells, Whitstable, Peggle Bay. And so if you have a look on the website, but one of the ones I wanted to shout about is because I did the Margate one, which is just up at Cliftonville, and I wanted to give a big shout out for the volunteers that go along, because obviously last Saturday when I went, oh, that was a bit weak, then they were standing out in the rain and the howling wind. So yes, we are mad as runners, we want to go out and run in it, but these people are volunteers and they just go up and stand as marshals, timekeepers, organisers of the event, making sure if anyone's slow that we have a trail runner at the back, so there's nobody left on their own, nobody feels last, they're all involved. So Margate Park Run, big shout out for them, so go and visit them. I've already done a link on Twitter for their sponsor and their volunteer page, so even if you don't run, I'm trying to get maybe my husband just get out in the fresh air on a Saturday morning 9 o'clock and just be there to volunteer and to maybe give somebody else a spur on in their little jog around their 5k route. So
round of applause for volunteers.
Yeah, definitely, big round of applause. I'm going to see if we can get them on the show and talk about it, because as I say, it's a passion for running, but it's exercise, it's just the whole Park Run theme is getting people out active. Dogs come along, and so far I've met people. The first run I did, I met a lady from Portsmouth. She normally does the Portsmouth run, so, and she was visiting family, so you can go all over the country. So when I'm up in the Lake District, I shall find a local one up there. The guy I spoke to on Saturday, he was from Manchester. So it's a fantastic way of getting together, and it's free, no money.
I'm going to find one down under in the other continent.
I am sure. I don't know if it heads... Well, yes, I'm disappearing off to India on a yoga retreat. So I will be going offline for 10 days. So I won't be very active on Twitter or Facebook, both as Who Cares Wins or Another Journey Begins. If anyone's trying to get hold of me, then just be patient and I'll be back on the 9th. On the 9th of March, I'll be back in the studio. I know, Jan, you're working, but I'll be back in the studio on the 9th with Sue Parker. Do you remember Sue, our wonderful original co-host when they were the terrible trio? And so we'll
if
be back there.
Two of us about in the early days, there were three.
So yes, I'm going to be joined with Sue, but also next week I'm looking at doing a recording. We can get something uploaded, maybe around the Wellbeing Symposium, because I know some people were asking to hear some of those speakers again.
Yes, because I'm off on my work travels again.
I know, such a busy bee.
Busy bee. Oh, just non-stop, and it's brilliant.
It's good stuff.
The
good stuff.
The sun is still shining.
By the way, Twitter. Margate Park Run is at Margate Park Run.
Simple.
On the Twitter, that's easy.
Very easy. So if you fancy being a guest, if you have a story to share, please do get in touch. Our Twitter handle is at Cares Wins. If you've heard anything from today that's inspired you to get involved, please let us know. We'd love to share those stories with everybody. Playing us out today is another piece of music chosen by Sheila and Derek. It's the Bridgend Male Choir, which I know is a favourite choir of theirs. They've been to see them several times. And this piece of music is a favourite piece of music of mine as well. It's Bring Him Home from Les Miserables. So wishing you all a fantastic week.
Yes, stay well.
Angela will be live with you on the 9th.
On the 9th.
I will be live with you back on the 16th. But in the meantime, we will be airing shows. So tune in.
Take care. Bye, everyone. Thanks, Sheila and Derek.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.